A thought for today. My thoughts are the seeds in my garden of life. My thoughts are the seeds in my garden of life. My thoughts are the seeds in my garden of life. What is your garden of life? Is it the grounds around the embassy? Is it the grounds around the monastery, or the citadel, or the hermitage, or the Shangri-La? Or is it Paradise Garden, or is it the acreage here of that unlimited university of healing? Or is it the whole universe? Or is it your mind? Is the garden of life our mind? If we come to realize it, that's the only garden we have, our mind. And it's not really our mind, it's our brain, not really our brain, it's our mind. We have a very confusing thing there, because the mind exists in total, complete and perfect. The brain exists in total, complete and perfect. The mind is ever, always there, always perfect. The brain is our limiting point. It's always perfect. But the brain has what you might call many facets or faucets to it. And as you open up these faucets of the brain, you release the flow of the mind's realization into your life. And if you open up one faucet of your brain, say for instance you're a human being, and you open up the faucet that says you're a human being, that's wonderful. You're going to act like a human being. You open up another faucet that says you're intelligent, another faucet that says you're all these other things. Isn't that nice? Isn't that nice? Why don't we just open up the whole thing? Why don't we unscrew all those faucets and let it flow continuously? Where did the faucets come from in the first place? Why did we get all screwed up with faucets when we were a clear, open channel of mind into action, mind into expression? Where did these faucets come from? Where did these limiting concepts come from that said that we have to do things in certain ways? Well, we chose to live in this environment. Now, there are people living in this environment who have no problems, who just get along smoothly and do everything beautifully. I read about a Mexican family in San Antonio, Texas. They had some 84 offspring from their parents who had become naturalized citizens of the United States. And they were sleeping in, the children were sleeping in a long barracks room with many, many, many single beds all up and down. And the children were asked by their friends, "Isn't this unusual that you have so many children and they're all sleeping like this here?" And you know, and they said no. There were 17 children in our family. That's not unusual. My uncle has 20. He has 20 children. So you see, they didn't think it was unusual. And all the family were given the values of their parents. They were given the values of understanding, of compassion, of caring. And so now a picture was taken, and there were 180 members of the family. 40 couldn't attend, and one died. Now, that was maybe how many years ago, in 80-something, I think. But like 20 years ago, one died. And it showed a picture of the grandpa, who was 87, and he was holding one of his grandchildren just 11 months before he passed on. But You see, this family had an interesting series of faucets being inculcated into the children's thinking. One of the faucets was, hey, we can do anything. Another faucet was, hey, we're not unusual. And then another faucet said, we're Mexican heritage. That means we have a certain limitation about us. Well, why does that have to mean you have a certain limitation? Why does, because you're Mexican or you're a German or you're a Swiss or you're an African, why would that have to mean that you have a limitation about you? It has. It has a major limitation. Because you say it. I'm a Swiss. That means you can only do this and only do that. And this is your limitations. If you say, I am a divine being. Isn't that great? I am a divine being. I am not a Swiss being or a German being or whatever we are. We don't limit ourselves by that. Those are faucets. Now, people say to you, oh, what nationality are you, German or Swiss or something? I'm Swiss. Why is it that we hold on to our dialect, onto our way of speaking that sounds Swiss? Why do we hold on to it? Now, there's nothing wrong with it. But we hold on to it because that's one of our faucets. That's one of our personality gigs. If I say to you, you are unlimited, and you say, well, yes, but you see, I come from this Swiss family who had these certain diseases, and I will have these diseases in my life too, as part of my heritage. Or I come from this African family, and we had AIDS and these other things, and that will be my heritage. It ain't necessarily so. That doesn't have to be a faucet. That doesn't have to be a limitation. We make them limitations. My thoughts are the seeds in my garden of life. You might say, the faucets. Now, what kind of seeds do we want in our garden of life? You know that AIDS is a pretty terrible thing, and there are a lot of people who have AIDS, and they're called a carrier. They don't experience AIDS themselves. They just carry the disease and give it to other people. Now, who says who is a carrier? What makes up a carrier? This person probably said to themselves, I'll never be sick, I'm whole and perfect, I'm fantastic, and he is, or she is, but they're a carrier. Now, why would anyone want to be a carrier? That would be a pretty tough thing. So instead of saying, I never am sick and I'm always whole and perfect, say, I am divine. I am, if you like, absolute. I am all. You see, all doesn't allow for being a carrier. All doesn't allow for us to have anything less than perfect in our life. Now, being a carrier is perfect, a perfect carrier. Having the disease is perfect, you have a perfect disease. Dying is perfect, you have a perfect death. But what is it that we teach is the ideal? I live in my eternally perfect ideal, spirit, mind, and body. I live in my eternally perfect ideal, spirit, mind, and body. This is the body that is absolutely perfect. This is the body that neither carries nor doesn't carry. It has nothing to do with anything which is contrary to its nature. Now, you don't have to participate in things in life. You don't have to participate in the knowledge that Krakatoa was a volcano that blew its top and spread ashes over the entire universe. You don't have to participate in that. You can see that there's something in the sky that darkened the sky for a period of time, but so what? You can just say, I'm whole and perfect, and you can be whole and perfect. We don't need to call anything good or anything bad. We only name that which we want to experience, and that those are the thought seeds that we put in our garden of life. Are you a happy person? Is happiness something you want to be? Then at all times you should be a happy person. Because if at any time you're not a happy person, then what are you doing? You're planting weed thoughts in your garden. If you want to call being unhappy weed thoughts. But a lot of people like to be unhappy. And a lot of people like to be a carrier of unhappiness. Let me give you a strange illustration here. Der Fuhrer, Hitler, was a carrier of unhappiness. He liked to go into other nations and say, "We own you," and take them over. He was a carrier of unhappiness. Now, he caused this disease of unhappiness in the nation that he took over, and they rebelled. They didn't want to have that disease of unhappiness, of being possessed by something, and so they rebelled. You see, a carrier isn't just a disease. A carrier is an idea, too. Now you, pardon my pointing this out, but you all are miserable carriers of anything that you say you don't want in your life, yet you experience it. You cannot experience anything in your life unless you give it permission to be there. Every death is a suicide, a choice. That doesn't sound very nice for the survivors, but every death is a suicide. It's a choice. Every illness, every unhappiness, every negative thing in your life that you're not pleased with, it's a choice on our part that we brought it into our existence. I don't want to say it's a choice on your part that you brought into your existence, but that's the truth. It's a choice on our part that we brought into our existence. Remember that. Each one of us have the perfect right to think golden thoughts at all times. Each one of us has the perfect right to be divine at all times. Each one of us has the perfect right to be the fulfillment of every good and beautiful thing that we call good and beautiful in our life right now. Every one of us. And if we are not, it is because we have allowed ourselves to read the media and see the negative things going on in the world. We have allowed ourselves to think a certain thought, think death, think unhappiness, and then we call those things weed thoughts. Well, they're really very marvelous seed thoughts. They're very tenacious seed thoughts. They will grow in spite of anything. You go over here to our paradise garden, and what are the most glorious plants growing in the garden there? Weeds. They're standing up a foot, 2 foot tall. They're fantastic. And they're just having a ball. They are growing because they are nurtured. You look at the paradise garden and you don't say to yourself, "Isn't that a lovely garden?" You say, "Look at those weeds. Every 10 feet there's one tall dandelion or what do you call it, prickly weed standing up there." Well, we have a little weed digger and we have a big weed digger. You can stand up and stick it in the ground. And just go down there and just pop it and let the old weed lay there. It'll dry up and they won't be there. But we like those weeds because every time we go in the paradise garden, that's the first thing we see there, those weeds. We don't see the lovely trees for the apples. We don't see the lovely trees for the blueberries. We don't see the lovely waterfall. We see the broken waterfall gadget, the little house with the windmill waterfall thing broken. But we don't see the lovely little pool. We see the weeds growing in the water in the pool. We see all those things we say are not important. But why is it that we're not saying, "Look at that lovely little water tray. Isn't that nice? Isn't that beautiful? See the water, how it travels along there? See it, how it goes running along there just having a ball? See how lovely the grass is? Kind of tall, but how lovely the grass is. See how beautiful the trees are growing? Look at this one and this one. Aren't they lovely? And hey, there's a tree that needs a little bit of my love. Hey, come on, tree. Go over and pet the tree. Kiss it. Hug it. Say, I love you, tree. Come on. Come on. Shake a leg. You're whole and perfect. I love you. Inside of you, there is that seed of life. Now grow, grow, grow. Every single moment when you go down to the paradise garden and you see a tree that needs a little love, give it love. See it whole and perfect. Visualize it green and vibrant. Unless you want it to die. Because you're the creator. You didn't take good care of your creative thoughts while you were allowing it to sort of get unhappy. But change that. Start planting the seeds in your garden of life, the thoughts of wholeness, the thoughts of perfection. We've planted enough of those other thoughts, haven't we? It's time for us now to take responsibility. Odahi had a hard time. He faced a lot of problems. And Katerina believed in him. That made them a perfect couple. Some of the other people in the world didn't believe in him because they believed the worst. And yet, perhaps they're right. Perhaps they're wrong. What does it matter? What matters is, what do we believe? Do we believe in Odahi? Do we believe in Katerina? Do we believe in their life? Do we believe in their goodness? When we can believe, see, we're not judging. We're not saying they did it or they did not do anything. We're merely saying they are divine. And then we look at Odahi and we say, he is divine. But he's dead. Yes, that's true. Yes, he's moved into another dimension. That's true. But what's our thought about it? What's our belief in it? Does it matter to us that he'd moved into another dimension? Not really. We never got to know him. A few of you have met him, but we never really got to know him. But you see, we're not concerned with whether we got to know somebody or not. We are concerned with one thing, and one thing alone. Do we believe in life, or do we believe in death? What is the never-changing reality? Life. What is the illusion? Death. What is it that we are doing? Are we putting our consciousness on life, or are we putting our consciousness on death? If we think death is okay, then that's fine. I can tell you one thing, a funeral director would be very unhappy if there weren't any deaths. He'd have to change his business. And remember the story about the Iceman? The Iceman used to deliver blocks of ice to people's homes and put them in their ice boxes. And then you'd have to have a pan down below the icebox to catch the water as the ice melted. That was one of my chores, to empty that all the time. But then the refrigerator came. And when the refrigerator came, the need for the Iceman ceased. Because electricity was a lot cheaper than having the Iceman come, paying 50 cents a block of ice every couple of days. And times change too. But just because things change doesn't mean that that's where our attention should be. Our attention is on the eternal, the everlasting, the wonderful things of who and what we are. We have a garden to tend, and that is the garden of our mind. Our brain is the activator of these things. It receives the thoughts of our mind and puts them into action. And we have screwed so many faucets on that brain, which said, this is right, this is wrong, this is good, this is bad. And it's time for us now, if we really like ourselves, and if we really believe that we are beautiful and good beings, to take those faucets and discard them. And just let it flow. Let it flow right through our brain. Stefan has a brain. Anita has a brain. Ingeborg has a brain. Love has a brain. Button has a brain. Oh yeah. Sylvia has a brain too. And Irene has a brain. And I have a brain. And we all have brains. And we are all receiving the infinite cosmos, the allness, which we are, through our brain to express in this physical life. It's a game we're playing. Now, Anita calls her brain a female brain. Stupid thing to do, because it's not a female brain, it's an omniscient, omnipotent, allness brain. It's just that she has this female funnel that she's running this brain through. And so, they're running the mind through. And so, if she says she's a female, she says there are things she can do and things she can't do. She can have a baby, and Stefan can't have a baby. You see, these are limitations, and these are not necessarily true. Stefan could have a baby, but it'd be kind of unusual from our perspective for him to do so. But that's only from our perspective. The universal doesn't need it. Stefan, have a baby. And so Stefan has a baby. Does he have to have it through his body in the gestation system? No. Stefan can think his thought, and there is a baby. Do you think some people think their thoughts and manifest a baby like that? You bet they do. You bet they do. The story of the Immaculate Conception is kind of unusual, but there the baby had no father, no earthly father, as far as we're told. But does it matter? Does it matter? The only thing that matters is that we are the creator of our world. And we create our world. And in creating our world, we create it with our thought alone. We don't create it with our physical body. Our physical body may be the vehicle through which the thought manifests itself, but it doesn't have to be that way. It doesn't have to be that way. Our physical body is not necessary to the manifestation of anything in the world. If you say, let there be peace on earth, or there now is peace on earth, and it began with me, but if you say, let there be peace on earth, then what you're meaning is that at the moment there's no peace on earth. However, if you think there's peace on earth, then for you there's peace on earth. For you there is balance, equanimity. For you there is all in right order. And this is how it goes when we are planting seeds. We plant these seeds, which are just our thoughts. And our thought is, I live in my perfect body. I live in my perfect world. I am surrounded by harmonious beings. I am a happy, wealthy, healthy, desirable, thoughtful, courteous, fantastic person. Of course, you all know that. Say these things about yourself. Say these things about yourself. Believe them about yourself. Put them in motion about yourself. What is one of the primary prerequisites here of being on campus? You have to do one major thing, which is a complete turnaround in your life. You have to say, I like me. Not that you like Herb Byerly, but you like yourself. I like me. And when you say, I like me, then what are you doing? You're putting the most wonderful seeds in your garden that you could possibly do. And that is a wonderful thing. You can see who's leading the crew here. And Button usually is the boss, but Little Love is directing him to go out there and take care of another rabbit who has gotten into the yard somehow. But this is wonderful. This is wonderful. We are the creator of our world. We are the creator of all of our experiences. And We create by our thought. We create by what we have going in our mind. We create by what we have that we're thinking about. And little love is certainly thinking about somebody out there in the yard. We have this acre of land around the embassy here, and little rabbits get in there sometimes and just seem to cause Button and Little Love to say, "Wonderful, we've got somebody to play with out there." But they play kind of rough sometimes. Now, Ingeborg, would you like to take Love in your arms and let him be a little more silent? Thank you. We could speak our word and we could say, "Love is silent now." But we have spoken our word saying that he's all excited about what's going on in the yard. Now, if we had spoken our word immediately and said, "All is in peace. Peace. Button, you're in peace. Love, you're in peace." If we had spoken our word like that immediately, then we wouldn't have the little story to tell. But you see, even when we let the story get out of line for ourselves, we can still take charge, and we can still be master of ourselves, and we can still bring peace in our life by our thoughts and by our attitudes. And it's a wonderful thing when we do that. Now, I find it interesting that when Ingeborg walks to the dogs, the first thing they do is come to her. When Ingeborg comes into the yard, the puppies run to her immediately. Now Ingeborg went to get Little Love, and Little Love knew he wasn't going to get fed. He knew that Ingeborg had something other in mind for him, and he wasn't particularly interested in not playing his game. So he came back in here, but we decided to be the master. We decided to plant in our garden the fact that love is quiet, love is peaceful, love is gentle, and love is wonderful, and so he is. We do these things because we are the creator of our world. We are the master of our world. Now, my thoughts are the seeds in my garden of life. Please do not think that one thought is good and another thought is bad. Please do not think that one thought is good and another thought is bad. Do not think one thought is good and another thought is bad. Think rather, "I choose this thought." Period. Not because I like it, not because it is a harmonious thought, not because it is no becauses. I just choose this thought. You look in a garden of beautiful flowers, and you want to pick a flower and put it on your table to have breakfast with that lovely flower in front of you. And you go to the garden, and you don't say, "I don't want that one, I don't want that one, I don't want that." You'd be quite busy, because there are a million flowers there and one that you want. You merely say, "I know my perfect flower," and you open your eyes, boing, right there it is. Right within easy reach. You don't have to walk through all the flower beds, trampling them all down. It's right there within easy reach for you. And you reach over, you know your perfect flower. And you pick it, and you take it in the house. You trim the bottom so that it has a perfect break so it can draw up the water and last a good long time. And you put it in a lovely vase and put it on your breakfast table. And then you sit there and eat your breakfast and look at that lovely flower. It was a choice, but it was not a choice instead of. It was a choice that was what you wanted. Some people walk into my living room here, and I have many flowers, many plants, that is. And they immediately walk to the dry ones and they say, "Oh, this hasn't been watered." They're drawn to that. What are you drawn to? Are you drawn to the beauty, the goodness, the happiness, the joy of your life? You can be. And I recommend that we do that. My thoughts are the seeds in my garden of life. My thoughts are the seeds in my garden of life. My thoughts are the seeds in my garden of life. And I love my thoughts. And I love you.